The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Andy Steiger.
Terry Crosby.
As usual. Terry.
Actually, this is from a few years ago. It says, autistic artist, and I don't know if you've seen this, was a few years ago, Stephen Wiltshire draws spellbinding 18-foot picture of New York from memory after a 20-minute helicopter ride over the city.
Isn't he a black person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that video.
This is just incredible, fascinating. Yeah. I mean, 20 minutes over, he looked at the landscape, and then he drew it all by memory.
That is unreal.
Do you have the picture?
There is a picture. I mean, he's starting it here. I mean, it is detailed.
Oh, wow. That's insane. Now, we're not talking a little picture here. No. We're talking
like a massive canvas.
So he sketches it out somewhat at the top. You can kind of see the little scribbles and stuff like that. But then he gets very detailed.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is very detailed. Did they check it for accuracy?
Yeah, he even seems to remember like how many windows were on which building kind of thing. Like it's that detailed.
It's that crazy detailed. But
that is insane.
A cute story about my nephew. He has autism as well. So his mom and dad were talking to him about this story and said, you know, Stephen flew over New York and drew all of New York by memory. He stopped for a second. His face kind of went down. He's like, I can't fly.
Classic.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So anyway, it's interesting because a lot of people within the evolutionistic frame of mind believes this is kind of the next step in our evolution process. There's one quote from a guy. He says, what if autism was headed ahead of its time, and instead of a disorder, a signal to a great leap in evolution of consciousness?
Kind of like superhuman. I want to say mutants because I'm thinking of
X-Men.
Yeah.
But this idea of what we've talked about before with the idea of transhumanism in a sense, but transhumanism has more to do with humans taking evolution into their own hands and kind of directing it. But this is just the argument being that autism could potentially be evolution's next step. Yeah. With regards to humanity.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? The question then would need to be asked, what survival value does it have?
Right.
To which we're talking about brute intelligence in this sense, being able to memorize landscapes. So you'd have to ask, well, what kind of selective advantage would memorizing landscapes have? Which I think is interesting because if I understand autism correctly, it seems as though most people that have autism, they tend to lack social skills.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that?
That I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised because all the people that I've met with autism tend to be socially awkward or something like that. And so then you would have to start thinking about, well, what kind of survival advantage or disadvantage does that have when you think about it in terms of evolution and all that kind of stuff? All right, we're talking about something that's very like broad and into the future. Let's bring it back to something a little bit more immediate, down to earth with us right here.
This is a question that we've been getting more and more recently, particularly here in Canada.
Yeah. And we're talking about cannabis, more commonly known as marijuana or
ganja.
Mary Jane. Yeah.
I'm trying to think all the hooch.
it goes by numerous names.
Whenever I think of marijuana, I think of Cheech and Chong.
Yes.
I grew up in the era of Cheech and Chong, and they're
I have no idea what that is.
Marijuana humor. I would encourage you to go look it up, but you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't watch the whole movie anyhow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, these guys that would make these movies that were pretty amusing.
For those listeners who are not aware of this, especially I think many of our U.S. listeners might not be aware of this. In Canada, our Liberal government is – one of their campaign promises was to legalize recreational marijuana. And they have this legislative package that is – if everything goes – on schedule, then recreational marijuana will be legalized – by no later than July of next year, 2018. Mm-hmm. And so what this legislative package contains is now all of the sort of the ins and outs of it, right?
Now, would that be nationwide?
It'll be nationwide.
Now, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? I remember before it was legalized in the United States, in certain states, that was actually surprising to a lot of people because many people thought that it would be marijuana would be legalized in Canada before it would be legalized in the United States, which did not take – it actually was legalized in the U.S. first.
In California, it's been legal since 1996. Medical marijuana, at least, has been
– that would make sense to me.
Yeah, since 1996.
What states have legalized marijuana, just for clarity?
Yeah, just before I get to that, though, I just want to kind of set the framework correctly so our listeners understand where we're going.
Good idea.
We basically want to talk about, you know, harms and benefits of legalizing or not legalizing marijuana. But we are going to talk about harms and benefits of legalizing recreational marijuana. But we want to go beyond that and talk about, you know, should Christians use marijuana recreationally, at least? As you were asking earlier, what are some states that have marijuana legalized? We have 8 states down in the United States plus DC. So that would be Alaska, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and like I said, Washington, DC. So these are states that have recreational marijuana legalized.
And I'm sure we're going to be seeing this, especially with Canada, most likely.
And currently, there's no province.
Not to my knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. No. In Canada, as I understand, medical use of marijuana is legal.
Yeah. It's been legal for a while now.
Yeah. But recreational stuff is not. And it is still illegal until the bill passes, which it likely will next year because the Liberals are the majority.
So this seems like an aggressive 1-year plan to get this all.
Yeah.
It's very complicated, right?
I didn't realize how complex it was until I started reading more about it. And it's just like, for example, tobacco and alcohol. And there are all kinds of restrictions around that. For example, you can't drink alcohol openly in the street or at a park or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't sell tobacco to people underage, that sort of thing. And these are all the things that this legislative package that I mentioned earlier is taking into consideration. They're trying to figure out exactly how they're going to control.
How to regulate.
Yeah, regulate and control the distribution of marijuana and who gets to use it and who.
And I think about cigarettes and just how controlled that is. I mean, the different places that you can and can't smoke a cigarette, right? And they're obviously going to need to think about that with regards to marijuana.
Yeah. So there are lots of different opinions clashing. Broadly speaking, there are people who are for the legalization of recreational marijuana and people who are against it, and they all bring different arguments to the table. And I wanted to hash out some of those with you guys. So people who are let's start with people who are against the legalization of recreational marijuana.
One of the reasons why people are against it is because it's considered a gateway drug. Mm. And the idea there being that once people use marijuana, they often will use other drugs. And in fact, these days, marijuana can be laced easily with other drugs. And in fact, recently on the news, a brother raped his sister. Maybe we can put this one on the show notes to direct people to it if they're interested. And he did so by using marijuana. I believe it was laced marijuana until she was so inebriated that she no longer said no to his request. The other thing, too, that's happening in Canada a lot right now, and it is happening throughout the United States as well, is overdoses that are particularly happening with drugs like fentanyl. In fact, The Economist did quite an article on fentanyl recently talking about how potent it is in comparison to something like heroin. And the potency is really unbelievable. And the idea just simply being that drugs are much easier to haul, to sneak in if they're created in such a way that their potency is, you know, is extreme so that you don't need as much quantity. And then you cut it, right? You can put it into other things or you make it less potent once you get a hold of it. And it's also cheaper. as well. And so then what happens is these drugs tend to get laced with other drugs like marijuana and can be and are lethal. We had over 900 people die from overdoses last year in British Columbia. Yeah. And we're on track this year to have even more than that.
So BC and Washington are known for their marijuana.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what that means? Like, is it just mean there's a high THC level in it? It's pure. What is that? Do you guys know what that means at all?
I could be wrong on this, so don't quote me on it. But as far as I understand, they just produce a lot of it. Now, having said that, THC, that's the ingredient property that gives you that high, right?
Yeah.
The hemp plant, on average, contains like 3 to 8% THC, especially concentrated in the bud or the flower. Now, they are creating these hemp plants that contain more and more THC. So it can contain as much as 24% THC.
So reading online, they were saying back at Woodstock, it was only 1% that they were smoking. And now these days, it could be up from 15 to 30% of THC within the plant itself. And that's a significant increase for us.
So
and those taking it.
So then the obviously the desire for more and more potent drugs. And again, this gets back to this idea of this gateway effect.
You just have to look at the effects, short-term and long-term, of marijuana. I mean, that's just scary right there. This is kind of quite immediate when you take your first puff. And a lot of people are holding it in longer these days. What scares me the most is that kids are using it more and more at a younger age. The effects in the developing brain
is particularly
high they say your brain is developing right up till 25.
This is what concerns me about a culture that's legalizing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We know that the health effects on people are horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually quite the laundry list of health concerns of marijuana, everything from your IQ, to
memory,
all sorts of issues. Psychosis, you name it. Now, I've seen the arguments on the other end, particularly when I was living down in California at the time they were legislating to legalize marijuana. And one of the big arguments that was being made was, listen, we're not getting tax revenue from it. Mm-hmm. But as well, just people getting tired of trying to fight it. Right. And just saying, let's stop fighting it and let's start regulating it.
Yeah. So I remember reading this. I'll put this up on the show note as well. The New York Times editorial board has written a piece. That was a little while ago, I think. But they wrote a piece that basically compared our current laws prohibiting marijuana to prohibition. Mm-hmm. And how, after 13 years of prohibiting alcohol, they finally realize this is not working because A, people are going to drink it anyway. B, it actually gives rise to crime syndicates and they flourish. And drinking, they argue, was a relatively minor offense. So citizens who are otherwise law-abiding citizens, these citizens are becoming criminals. That's the same kind of argument that proponents of legalizing recreational marijuana are making is that you have like some over 600,000 people getting incarcerated for minor offenses like possession, and all of the taxpayer dollars that are going into that to keep them incarcerated. Why don't we instead? And so our law enforcement, their resources, their time and money are going into this when instead we can regulate it so that we can get tax revenue out of this.
And then, of course, what we've seen in Europe is that what tends to happen is you need to start you need to start doing this with more and more drugs, right? It doesn't stop with alcohol. It doesn't stop with marijuana and moves on so that you've got, different places where you can purchase even more potent drugs. But one of the things, though, that I just want to switch gears here is because we didn't really want to get in too much to this whole argument of should pot be legalized or not. That's an interesting discussion, but we'll set that one aside because the question that we're receiving is it is legal in certain places in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's potentially going to be legal here in Canada, which raises the question, can or should a Christian participate in marijuana if it is legal?
That's a whole different question, right? Because it's one thing for the state to legalize it for everybody to use, but that doesn't necessarily kind of align with the Christian ideal.
And maybe we should say it this way. It's not illegal. Some of the ways that we phrase things can kind of skew the way that we view it. And when we say, you know, that it's something that you can do without legal ramifications.
Yeah,
now, impunity. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of things that you can do without legal ramifications, you know, such as you can divorce, you can have an adult, you can commit adultery without legal ramifications, or you can view pornography without legal ramifications. I mean, you can view grotesque pornography without legal ramifications. Now, obviously, there are some things that are illegal with pornography. We could ask this question in a variety of different settings, not just marijuana. We can ask it with adultery. We can ask it with pornography. I mean, we could continue and ask, well, should Christians participate in that? It's not illegal.
Yeah. I found that for me, what helps me with not just marijuana, but alcohol and things like that, what helps me is going back to the very beginning, to the Genesis creation account, and looking at how God is ordering things. Like if you read it, what you see is, okay, God is creating something out of nothing, but he doesn't stop there, right? He orders it. You know, there is a certain way things ought to be. And what you see is there is this hierarchy that's created. There's God, and then there's creation at the bottom, but in between is humanity.
Well, let me push back on that, Steve, because this is an argument that a lot of people are making for Christians using marijuana, is they'll quote Genesis 1:29, in which it says, "Behold, I have given you all plant yielding seed," and marijuana does yield seed, "that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food."
Right. And now I can push back on that and say, you know what? We make wine out of grapes. But clearly, the Bible teaches against drunkenness. Right? So obviously, you have to hold those two in tension and interpret it in context. And so what I would say is, you know, there are certain foods that are good for food, but it's not just everything. You got to use it responsibly, right?
Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, but that's debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." So here's a question to push back on that, Steve. And that would be, well, I can drink wine and not get drunk, and so I can enjoy wine. Can I smoke a little bit of marijuana? I eat a little bit of marijuana?
Yeah, so this is where I would come back at it and say, okay, so first off, we need to talk about, like, just like you were saying, right? You can enjoy wine, for example, without getting drunk. So that when you get drunk, basically what you're doing is you're putting the rest of creation above humanity.
By the way, I looked into that, and I believe that legally, before you're intoxicated, we're talking like a beer here, a man can drink about four drinks on average for average-sized woman, five drinks on average for average-sized man. You would be considered intoxicated after
intoxicated.
That point. Whereas in comparison, marijuana, about four puffs of a joint.
And so what I would say is, now when you get drunk, for example, the reason we don't want to do that is, theologically speaking, the reason we don't want to do that is, now you're upsetting that order, that hierarchy. You're putting creation, the rest of creation, above humanity. Now,
and I just want to tag on something here, because I think that it can be okay to use marijuana as a Christian. Again, though, it comes back to this question, should I? And so where I would go, well, I think it's possible, is if there is a medical reason, you know, to use marijuana, I could...
But that's different. Is it not medical use and smoking? Because the medical part is that they're taking out from the plant...
CBD.
CBD, okay. What they need in its purest form... And them taking it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that was where I was going next.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, is in fact, and Steve and I were looking into this, is there is a difference, medically speaking, when you talk about what does it mean to use something medically.
Yeah.
You know, and what you see is exactly that, Terry. Well, now you're isolating what exactly is it in marijuana that is medically beneficial for people, and then extracting that chemical and then learning how to use it in a way
and dosing it properly.
Yeah, to a human body that is now, notice again, purpose and intention is coming into play here.
Yeah.
That is of benefit to people. But even there, as we know, with drugs of all sorts, it's still a challenge, right?
I mean, some people use marijuana to deal with their depression and anxiety, but marijuana itself produces depression and anxiety.
Right.
Right. So smoking it seems to be on a different scale than, you know, extracting. Yeah. Personally, for myself, I have arthritis. So smoking marijuana or taking the, you know, the medicinal could be very beneficial for me, right? Am I going to? I don't know, right? I mean, that's down the road. I mean, I'm not that bad where I'm, you know, hurting all the time, but it will be a question in my mind, I guess,
if it's helpful forward. For if arthritis.
Yeah. And inflammation.
I guess it becomes a question.
But see, this is, I think, a question, though, people have to deal with. There are a lot of people, though, that want to find something going on in their body, yeah. right, that matches up with marijuana.
And no, then, it's real for me.
It's real. What if I said to you that I just enjoy cooking mm-hmm. with marijuana, and I love some brownies with some THC.
That I would come back to that and say, this is where I kind of step back from the language of good and evil and step back and go, okay, is this helpful to your Christian walk or not? And I would argue no, because marijuana can be like very detrimental to your health. For example, when you smoke marijuana, there is actually a fact sheet that came out of USC, University of Southern California. And this place is hardly a bastion of political conservatism, right? Mm-hmm. And they were arguing about how dangerous marijuana can be, how harmful it can be. One thing is when you smoke marijuana, it hits you right away. And if you ingest it in some other form, like brownies and things like that, it can be a little more dangerous because you don't feel the effects until like half an hour later. Mm-hmm. So while you're eating it, because you don't feel it right away, you keep eating it and you can get too much of it. And in some rare cases, it caused anxiety. Apparently it like anywhere from doubling to quadrupling your heart rate right after you smoke it or eat it.
Did you guys ever hear what happened with me? I won't say names. This person actually even listens to the podcast, but
please tell.
He accidentally overdosed on marijuana.
Really?
We didn't even know it. He was meeting with me, actually, and I won't give any too many details. He doesn't seem to bother with about the story, but at any rate, all of a sudden he started feeling really weird during our meeting. Then all of a sudden he needed to start laying on the ground on his back and started going into what we thought was full-on panic attacks. His muscles started to seize up, and then he started like making this moaning sound. By this time, we'd already called an ambulance and everything. Like, I'm thinking he's having a panic attack or something. That's actually what the ambulance thought too, because he doesn't do drugs or anything, right? Mm. They got him to the hospital and they're doing all these tests and they're like, "This isn't anxiety," and the doctors were stumped. And then they started asking, "What did you eat today?" And it just so happened that he was at somebody's house who he didn't know, and he was, you know, walking out, and some there were some brownies on the table. Decided that he would just kill a couple brownies.
Oh no!
Yeah, and they just about killed him. They were full of marijuana.
Wow. He's okay now though.
Yeah. So he ended up being fine, and once the doctors realized that, they were able to help him. Yeah. But I want to push back on this though, Steve. Mm-hmm. The question about harming your body, I totally get it, and I think it's an interesting argument. The problem with it that I see is there are so many things that harm your body. I mean, I honest to goodness was in a hotel in California, and there was a sign on the hotel building that said, "This hotel has been known in the state of California to cause cancer." It's like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, we've seen, you know, cigarettes cause cancer. But by the way, I think what they've done there in California is if a building in the past was allowed to be smoked in, it is now deemed you know, that building can cause cancer. Mm. But we'll see that even with foods like sugars and other things, mm-hmm. you know, where people say, oh, you know, these aren't healthy for you. That starts to become very subjective. I mean, there's so many things that aren't healthy
for us. It's vague. Whenever you try to draw a line, it ends up being arbitrary. Having said that, like, I mean, this may sound a little draconian, but that still doesn't, to my mind, it still doesn't justify that this is actually okay.
But here's another pushback then. Let's just agree then that marijuana is bad for your health. Well, what if, and we're in agreement that four puffs of a joint would be intoxicating. So what if I just have one puff of a joint, or I just eat a little bit of it?
With all these things, we have these moral dilemmas all the time, right? With marijuana, with alcohol, mm-hmm. with pornography. Should Christians do that? Is that the right question? As a Christian,
can I look at just a little bit of pornography?
Not even a little. But I mean, we have to.
I think you're right. Go by back, the way, Terry. Yeah. I think we're asking the wrong question.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we have to go back to what we were created for, like mm-hmm. what you were talking about, and our relationship with Christ. So I think the question might be why? Why are we doing this? Why mm-hmm. are we taking marijuana?
Yeah.
Why are we doing alcohol frequently as we do?
Right. That's the question we should be asking. I think it circumvents a lot of the arbitrariness problem, or where you try to draw the line.
I think when somebody comes up to us and asks us, or we're asking ourselves, you know, can I do this? It seems that it slips very easily into a very legalistic yeah. view of Christianity. And Christianity becomes this thing where we have this view of God that he's this, you know, this cosmic killjoy mm-hmm. who's just got all these rules on me and not letting me just enjoy the good things of life, you know. And so I want to know where those boundaries are and try to push them as much as I can, you know. So it becomes this, what can I do? How much can I get away with and God's not going to be angry with me? Mm-hmm. And I think that we've got it completely backwards. God wants you, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Like, you know, God wants you to experience the fullness and the goodness of what it means to live. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge that we find, though, is that in our brokenness, we are constantly seeking to do what you were talking about, Steve. We're constantly flipping the order of creation, and we're constantly wanting to put ourselves above God, or we're just wanting to hide from him altogether. And I think an important question that we have to ask ourselves then is, why do I want to do something? Maybe it's smoking cigarettes. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's pornography. I mean, whatever it might be, marijuana. Why do I want to smoke marijuana? And another thing that I want to just continue on along this line is this idea that we are a very self-centered, not only culture, but as broken people, you know, sinful people, we are very self-consumed. It's all about what I want. It's about filling my pleasures and my joys and maybe escaping from whatever's going on in my life. And the gospel is outward focus. It's about your relationship with God. It's about your relationship with people. And it's about learning how to love God more and learning how to love people more. And I think one of the questions we've got to ask ourselves is, you know, whatever it is that's consuming me, maybe it's marijuana, you know, and that's, you know, drawing you in, and asking yourself, does this thing lead to me loving God more and loving people more? Or in fact, is this a hindrance to that?
For the longest time, I think as Christians, we've hid behind this, it's legal or illegal to do marijuana.
Right.
So we're just like looking at them, the person across the table going, what are you doing? I mean, now this is kind of throwing us into a place where we have to do a little bit more thinking about the issue, since it's coming directly into our culture. And we have to talk about these issues of why people are going to be doing it more, it seems. If you go to Colorado, if you talk about Washington, a lot more people are partaking in this. So what are we to do? I mean, are we going to condemn? Are we going to look at them and be very legalistic about it? Or are we going to invite the talk about it?
You know, like this whole question, it kind of reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The parable of the Good Samaritan. The teacher of the law who asked Jesus the question, as you read the story, you find out, was asking the wrong question. He said, well, who is my neighbor?
It was a self-serving question.
Right. Who is the neighbor that I should love? What that suggests is, if he can figure out who his neighbor is and who isn't, he can kind of draw this really convenient line, and he can love people that he's supposed to love and not love people that he's not supposed to love. And what Jesus did was turn this on its head and say, no, that's the wrong question. The question is not who your neighbor is. The real question is whether you are being neighborly.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's the matter of your heart, which way it's oriented. Yeah. I find that it's very similar to this question. Mm-hmm. Can I smoke marijuana as a Christian? I'm like, well, in a lot of ways, I think that question is a bit off, right?
Well, yeah. I think Paul would say, yeah, you can. As he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, I have the right to do anything, he says, but not everything is beneficial. Mm. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. One of the things that I think about as well is, you know, there's an interesting aspect of marijuana that's different from, say, alcohol. When somebody drinks alcohol, you can drink alcohol in different purposes. You don't need to get drunk with alcohol. You don't, like, that's not a necessary aspect of drinking alcohol. But marijuana is different in the sense that it is – so, by the way, this would completely apply to alcohol as well. Not to get ahead of myself here, but I think about the person who's dealing with all kinds of stress at work and goes home at night and finds themselves going to, you know, their alcohol cabinet over and over again and needs to start asking questions, why am I drinking alcohol?
Right.
One of the things, though, that I think is challenging, though, with marijuana as compared to alcohol is this idea, can you smoke in moderation? You know what I mean? Marijuana. Whereas the purpose, intention of marijuana is drunkenness, the equivalent.
Yeah.
There
intoxication.
Is intoxication. There is no middle ground. I've never seen anybody go, you know, I just like the taste of marijuana, or I
just want to get a buzz. I'm like, well,
yeah,
it's just not the same, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There is no medium. Like with drugs, right? The intention, the purpose of it, and how it works is that it takes you directly to the drunkenness level, the intoxicated level. And that's now we're talking about intention. We're talking about purpose.
Right.
And this gets back to the question of what's going on in your heart. Why do I want to be intoxicated? What's going on in my life that is leading me to even want to ask the question, can a Christian do this?
Right.
Instead of this question, you know, should a Christian do this? I remember, now I don't know about you guys, but I have smoked marijuana. Have either of you?
No, I haven't.
Neither of you? Okay, so yeah. I'm the bad boy here. I gave it up a couple years ago. No, I'm just kidding. When I was younger, I smoked marijuana when I was a teenager. And I was going through a bad spell in my life where I was starting to go down some paths that were not walking with God. They were not about relationship with God. And they, in fact, were not about relationship with other people. They were a path of brokenness. And marijuana was just one of those aspects of my brokenness and me wanting to hide from what was going on in my life with my family. It was actually a desire to hide from relationship. And it was a desire to hide from God. Now, interestingly enough, why did I give up marijuana? Well, I didn't give it up because it was legal or illegal. I mean, it was illegal at the time, right? That had no bearing on my mind whatsoever, by the way. You know, and I didn't give it up because of health concerns either. I gave it up because I loved Jesus more than I loved that, and I desired to further my relationship with God and other people. Mm. And I knew that that would necessitate me needing to give up many things in my life, not just, you know, one of them being marijuana.
I'm sure we can go on talking about this till cows come home, but unfortunately, this is the nature of our podcast. We only have a certain amount of time. So thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada. Come back next week for more to think about.